Howdy, folks. Today, I have titled this podcast, Those Men Do Not Have That Much Authority. Recently, some of my brothers and sisters in Christ have told me about some of these guys on social media that are out there talking to audiences, telling them they need to give so much and add so much to it, pulling all these things out of thin air, things of which the Bible doesn't say at all. Well, I thought it's about due time for us to talk about the authority that men have. And some of these things, and I'm going to get into this as we get into this subject, can be confusing because there are scriptures that, if not understood correctly in the greater context of God's Word, that people could read and they would think, well, this man's an elder. And when we use the word elder, we're talking some synonyms of elder are bishops or pastors. So somebody might think this elder has this much authority because of the Bible, or this preacher, or otherwise known as evangelist, he might have this much authority because of these scriptures. We'll get into that a little bit as we go forward. But before we get into anything at all, I'm going to assume something, and if this assumption is wrong, this will answer it. I'm going to assume that if you're listening to this podcast, you know we're talking about men that do not have that much authority because women aren't part of this discussion. There's not women elders or women evangelists, preachers, etc. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 15 says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she should be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. So that's why we're not talking about women who have abused their role of authority, because those women out there that title themselves in such a fashion as a pastor, elder, or bishop, or evangelist, or preacher, clearly are in contradiction of the scriptures. And that's not confusing to anybody that knows very little about the Bible. Those people that follow those women are just absolutely disobeying God outright. So to get to our subject matter, I want to jump into Luke chapter 11, verses 27 through 28. And I want to start with some things that Jesus said. In Luke 11, 27, 28, it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. I want you to think about this for a moment. Jesus directs one who wants to praise Mary, the mother of Jesus, the chosen woman on earth to bring the Savior into the world. And she wants to exalt her. And Jesus says, Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. How could you think of unchosen men in a greater fashion than the word of God when you see a statement like that? He also said in Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 through 50, the text says this, While he talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. One said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, Who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. Notice this in verse 50. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. He didn't say, Whosoever hears and does the saying of the Sadducees, Pharisees, chief priests, elders, etc., etc., the will of the Father which is in heaven. There are parallels to that. Mark 3, 31 through 35 records this. Luke 8, 19 through 21 records this. We have to recognize that Jesus puts forth the will of the Father through himself, through the revealed word, as the standard of authority. He also said in Matthew chapter 7, after teaching that there are few that are saved in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, to beware of false prophets which come in sheep's clothing but are really ravening wolves in Matthew 7, 15 through 20, and how you know them by their fruits. He follows that up in verses 21 through 27, Matthew 7, 21 through 27, saying this, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and thy name cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You want to build your faith on somebody other than Jesus Christ and the will of the Father that he brings into this world? Your faith fails. Jesus never said all authority belongs to elders or preachers or any other men. He did say in John 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Listen, I do this podcast and it's full of scripture every time. Why? Because what I say doesn't matter. The words of Brian Yeager will not save anybody. I can't, by moving aside Jesus, get anybody to heaven. Neither can any other man on earth. Those out there that know the Bible far better and greater than I do, they're nobody. Their words mean absolutely nothing. Go sit on the toilet, have a bowel movement, look down in that toilet, and that is exactly the value of the words of men. It's a bunch of that. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No other man can say that. Past, present, or future. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 27, Jesus says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. You're not getting to heaven by sidestepping Jesus, by listening to some other man, by following some other man's authority. Jesus never said, listen to man because he's greater than me. No, no, no. The Word of God reveals that Jesus is our authority figure. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus is with the 11 apostles, the disciples here, as Judas had hung himself at this point. And he says in verses 18 through 20, the text says this, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, so he's talking to the 11, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now listen, power there means authority, all authority. Since Jesus has all authority, that means I don't have any. no other preacher or elder has any, that we're going to get into some scriptures that might be confusing to people in this regard. But the authority that man has to come through Christ. Not around him, not over him or under him, through him. He then tells them, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost. And notice this, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. It's not go and tell them your opinion. It's not go and tell them what you think they must do to be saved. It's not go and tell them what you think a faithful follower of me looks like. Go and teach them what I've taught you. They're going to have help. The Holy Spirit is going to bring to remembrance the things that Jesus had said unto them. So the Spirit is going to guide him. He's going to give them the things that they need to teach. John 14:26, Jesus talking to the apostles there said, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance, whatever I've said unto you. But with help, they're going to be teaching the will of Christ. The will of Christ that comes ultimately from the Father, that gets you to the Father. In Acts, the 10th chapter, the first conversion account of Gentiles, Peter is preaching, being moved by the Spirit. Verse 36 says, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. Notice this, he is Lord of all. In Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 20 through 22, talking here to a primarily Gentile congregation, the Spirit has Paul write, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, obviously talking about the Father. Notice this, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. He has all authority. He's above all authorities. In Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 6, says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful him that appointed him, as Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he hath builded the house, hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? Jesus is the head over his own house. Over his own household is the idea. His own people. No other man has that distinction. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 20, says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven, and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. You see this consistent pattern from Matthew 28 all the way to 1 Peter chapter 3. We could go forward still further too, but the point should be clear. He has the authority. No man can go and say, get out of my seat. Christ is the head over all things. when you look at him as Lord, it therefore comes down to doing not what man says, but what he says. He put forth this question in Luke 6:46. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? How simple is that? Well, my preacher said, who cares? The elders said, who cares? Did what they say come from the Lord's word? It's not implied when you say they said, and most often isn't meant. Because most often, when preachers are quoted or elders are quoted, they're quoted as the standard of authority instead of the scriptures. Look. In Galatians, the first chapter, and this is where I think of when these kind of modern day problems arise, when men are locking people in quote-unquote church buildings or other facilities and telling them they need to give more. These are things that have recently been brought to my attention that are on social media. However accurate the accounts are or what detail they are accurate, the fact is men are given way more authority than God intended them to have in this generation, times past, and if the world continues going forward, because people like to be followers of men. It is just what people have long done. They like to exalt men. They like to put them in positions of authority and think more highly than them. They'll quote them. I've heard it from years. This man said, this commentary says this. This says, listen, does God's word say it? If that man's teaching the truth, then he's taught it from God's word. You could just use the scripture he gave you when he said it. And just eliminate him altogether from the process of the conversation. If you can't do that, the question begs asking, where'd he get it from? In Galatians, the first chapter, verses 6 through 12, hear this. It says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so saying I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, no man today can speak as Paul did because he was directly guided. Again, back to the John 14:26, or if you're taking notes, John 16:1-13, or if you're taking notes, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the whole chapter. Paul didn't speak his own will, less granted authority from the Lord to do so. He spake as the Spirit moved him, the revelation of Christ being given unto him. The men that speak from their own minds or from other words of men aren't doing what Paul did. And when we quote scripture, we're not doing exactly what Paul did either. He was given directly the revelation, not indirectly. See, if I'm quoting scripture, I'm indirectly. I'm using a means. I'm using a translated version of the original written text. Not the directly from the Spirit to my mind, out of my mouth, revelation. So having said all of that, let's come back to this. No man, and when Paul says, but though we, like he's an apostle. He had authority above elders and evangelists in the first century. He says, but though we, or an angel from heaven, you can deduce, right? Nobody alive today has that level of authority. And he's saying that person who preaches anything than that which had been preached in the gospel is preaching something that makes that man accursed. So when you're following somebody that's speaking from their own mind, what they make themselves the standard of authority, you're quoting, following, and obeying an accursed individual. Where is that you think that puts you? We'll get to that as we go through the remainder of this podcast. I want to jump into this, though. Why could this be confusing? I don't think, from what I have seen in my lifetime, that a lot of people even know about some of these scriptures. So I don't think a lot of people are just confused. A lot of people just like to follow men. But I'm gonna extend this. Maybe some people are confused about scriptures. Elders and preachers do have some authority. We'll qualify that as we go forward. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 13 used this language in verse 7 and then verse 17. So Hebrews 13, 7 first says, "Remember them which have the rule over you." We're going to see who that is in the New Testament. "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." So we're eliminating civil government there because we're talking about spiritual, right? Verse 17 then says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that's unprofitable." So again, these two verses are clearly talking about spiritual authority, not that which relates to the government of men. So who has the rule when it comes to spiritual authority? 1 Timothy 5:17 says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in word and doctrine." And this is talking about financially supporting those that hold the office of an elder. If you're a note taker, I'm not going to get into the qualifications of elders today, but if you're a note taker, the qualifications of elders are 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, and Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. So that's 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, and Titus 1, 5 through 9. If you're sitting there studying and using this podcast as a study and you want to branch off, you can always hit the pause button, read that, or you can take that note and go back and look at it later. As I have been around and preaching the gospel for a long time now, I'm just going to tell you plain and simple, frankly and clearly, it is very difficult to find a man in this present world that meets the qualification of elders. There are many wearing that designation that I have seen that very easily don't fit a number of those qualifications. That point aside, it is the elders that have rule over men. I can see where somebody could read Hebrews 13, 7. And 17 and say, well, that's authority. I can also see in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, whom also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that should be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." So I could see where somebody would read Hebrews 13, 7, 13, 17, and 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4, and think, wow, elders have a lot of authority. Well, they have authority. A lot. Well, that's a whole nother conversation, but they do have authority. In what fashion? Well, not over Jesus. Jesus is the head over all things. He's the head of the church. Where are the boundaries of their authority? Where do they have the right to bind or loosen in areas? Some would say in areas of liberty. Well, no. they're still limited there. Why is that? Because in areas of liberty, it's not the strongest among the brethren that have the authority. It's the weakest. You know, Romans 14, for example, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. One believeth he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yet he should behold up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. That just removed the elders from the authority position there. Right? Oh, yeah. You see, the stronger you are, and an elder would need to be at the pinnacle of that level of strength, the more you're going to give place to the weaker. You're not going to let your liberty become a stumbling block to the weak. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 9 says, take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. So you can't really say this applies to areas of liberty. You're going to be seeing elders concede to the weaker. When it comes to the local congregation, saints are to submit one to another, Ephesians 5 and verse 21. So it's not going to be just, well, the elders think it's best. Let's come back to their work. Where does their authority reside? Where is it? Well, what's their job? It's to be shepherds, right? Isn't that what we saw in 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4? To take the oversight of the flock that is among them. So this is where their authority resides, taking the oversight. What's that mean? The care to look after. That's what it means. Strong's number 1983, to look upon, to inspect, to oversee, to care for. They're the caretakers of the church. So they may have authority when it comes to the spiritual care of the church, but that authority is still governed by Christ. It's still limited to what the Word of God authorizes. So maybe they see somebody who needs to learn and grow. They might have the authority where they might say, this is the approach we're going to take in this. I'm going to come and study with you and you're going to listen. Or they might, hey, we need to have collective studies in this regard, but it's still going to be, you know, limited authority. They certainly don't have the authority over somebody's household. The authority in somebody else's household resides with the man. The man is the head of that household. That's even one of the qualifications of the elders. But the husband is the head of the wife, Ephesians 5, verse 23, even as Christ is the head of the church, Savior of the body. See, that verse shows you that the husband has the same level of authority in his house that Christ does over the church. Well, the elders don't have authority over Christ in the church, so that means they don't have authority over the husband in the house. Do you think perhaps by chance there are some men that have called themselves elders that have taken more authority than they have? Yes. So you're going to have to case by case look at this. Their authority is limited to the shepherding of the flock. And it's governed by the rest of the scriptures because Christ the head, the Word himself, puts those things in place. Likewise, when it comes to preachers, to elders, I can see where, or not to preachers that are elders, I'm sorry, misspoke there. Two preachers who have authority. Preachers do have some level of authority. In Titus 1 verse 5, the beginning of the qualification of elders in that context, Paul tells Titus the evangelist, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I appointed thee. So the work of an evangelist, go and fix things that are lacking. Okay? Appoint elders. Okay. Titus 2 and verse 1, speak those things which become sound doctrine. Or in other words, the word become means befits or seemingly to sound doctrine. Okay, the authority to speak. Down to verse 15, same chapter, Titus 2:15. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Preachers have all authority. All authority to do what? Titus 2:1, speak the things which become sound doctrine. You see, no one can forbid an evangelist from preaching God's word. His job is to do that. His responsibility is to do that. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, preachers are to make foolproof. That is, that they're to carry out fully their ministry. Notice verses 1 through 5, 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. I charge thee before God and Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, is appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. I could see where people are confused, but you need to understand the boundary here. The authority is to preach the word. Yes, they're to do that with authority. You know, there's statements that, for example, in 1 Timothy, and by the way, 1, 2 Timothy, and Titus are written to evangelists. So if you want to know the work of an evangelist, there's a whole lot written more about the work of an evangelist than there is elders. 1 Timothy 1:3, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Charge is to command. And you see that language when it comes to the work of evangelists over and over again. For example, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, had this right at the top of my mind, and then I don't know if you've ever had those moments where I'm on a roll and I've got something right at the top of my mind, and then all of a sudden, lost my thought. To charge. Okay. We're talking about charge. First Timothy 4, I had you turn there for a reason. Verse 11, these things command and teach. It's the same Greek word translated charge in 1 Timothy 1:3. You can look that up. Strong's number 3853. And 1 Timothy 5:7, these things give in charge that they might be blameless. In 1 Timothy 6:17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God which giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So yes, an evangelist has authority to command. Command what? Command the word of God. But see, what has happened is evangelists take this authority and claim some form of evangelistic oversight. Or they call themselves pastors. Listen, pastor is a term that is synonymous with an elder, with a bishop. In Ephesians 4:11, where you see the word pastors, it means shepherd, poimen, the Greek word, Strong's number 4166. Unless an evangelist is also a qualified elder, he is not a shepherd. He doesn't have the authority of an elder. If he is both an evangelist and an elder, Peter was an evangelist, an elder, and an apostle, then he can operate within the framework of that separate realm of authority. But the office of an evangelist is not give the authority to shepherd. I don't know how many times I've had conversations with people and congregations where I've worked with where they want me to do something, and I tell them, I'm not an elder. I don't have authority to do that. Say, for example, might have somebody in the congregations that's not growing like they ought to grow. And that might be visible to some members, and then they might say, what can you do about that? Well, I can teach them. I can tell them they need to grow. They're commanded to grow. I can do that because of 2 Peter 3:18. But beyond that, I don't have any authority. I can't say, I'm going to have a class that you need to, must attend. I don't have that authority. Elders have that authority to shepherd. I don't have that authority. Don't confuse that. The evangelist's authority begins and ends in God's word. Beyond that, beyond teaching, say, for example, if an elder came to me and said, I don't want you to teach on this. That elder doesn't have the authority to do that because from God, I'm told, preach the word. To be pure from the blood of all men, like Paul said in Acts chapter 20 when he was talking to the Ephesian elders. He said, Acts 20:26-27, I take record this day that I'm pure from the blood of all men, for I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Yet nobody can forbid a man preaching God's word from preaching the entirety of God's word. When I was preaching in a place in Pennsylvania, I was called into a meeting and given a list of things that I was not allowed to preach on any longer. That was my sermon the next time I got up in the pulpit. The whole list ended up being the beginning of the last of my preaching work there. Nonetheless, they had no authority to do that. They didn't want me to preach on divorce and remarriage, alcohol, and different things. Why? Because they were guilty of those transgressions. They had no authority to forbid me from doing so. And by forbidding me from doing so, they told me exactly what needed to be preached on. Well, had I decided to listen to them, I would have been disobeying God. At the same time, I had no authority to do anything but preach God's word. When or if you were to ever visit the congregation here in El Paso where I labor, you will find that outside of God's word, I have a very small voice on purpose. I know there are people that are inclined to listen more to somebody like myself because of our level of knowledge or so forth. So I reserve myself when it comes to areas of discussion that aren't part of my work. I reserve myself even if I think maybe I've got a good idea. I keep that back because I don't want somebody to give me more authority than the scriptures allow me to have. Do not give an evangelist authority that he does not have. You will cause him to be in trouble with the Lord, and you yourself will be as well. As you study God's word in its entirety, you will see a pattern. It's God's word above all else. Look at this. String some scriptures together for you. Moses, a man chosen by God. Nobody on earth can say that today like Moses could say that. Deuteronomy 4:2, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. What's the standard? God's word. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32. Whatsoever thing I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. What's the standard? God's word. Don't change it. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 and 6. And there's context before and in between these, but just to keep a line of thought going here. Proverbs 35 and 6. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. If you take this pattern all the way to the last chapter of the Bible as it's laid out, you get to Revelation 22, 18 and 19, where John's talking about the revelation he is declaring. He said, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in his book. If any man shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book. Do you see the pattern? You see, in Isaiah 8, verse 20, Isaiah puts it better than I can. He's moved by the Spirit. He writes directly as he is given. Isaiah 8, verse 20 says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, is because there is no light in them. That is very simple. If they don't speak from this word, on the part of this word, they're in darkness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 6. The text says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and the stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judge of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. For I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsel of the heart, and then shall every man have his praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. Real simple. Don't think beyond or above that which is written. When you look at God's word, it is beautiful to see how this carries out. You know, Moses has all this authority. So in Numbers chapter 9, verses 1 through 8, the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, let the children of Israel also keep the Passover as appointed season. In the 14th day of this month, at even, you shall keep it an appointed season according to all the rites of it, according to all the ceremonies thereof, you shall keep it. Moses spake unto the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover. Okay, so in verse 5, they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at even in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all the Lord commanded Moses, so did the children of Israel. And there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man, that they could not keep the Passover on that day, and they came before Moses and before Aaron on that day. And those men said unto him, we are defiled by the body of a dead man, whereof are we kept back, that we may not offer an offering to the Lord in his appointed season among the children of Israel. Now listen, what does Moses do with this? Does he say, let's come together and vote on the matter? You see, that's what a lot of churches do. No. Does he say, let me give you my opinion on the matter? No. Does he say, let me find a commentary from our forefathers of what to do when we don't know what to do? No. Numbers 9 and verse 8. Moses said unto them, stand still, and I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you. How about that? Let's see what God wants us to do. That's the answer to these types of questions. It's not look to man or the words of men. Let's see what the Lord would have us to do. What happens when even good men, great men, even chosen men give their own counsel? One of my favorite accounts when I'm teaching people on the authority of the Scriptures is 2 Samuel 7, 1 through 7. You know me, I've used this with you. If we've ever had a Bible study where we've talked about authority, you know where we're going. 2 Samuel 7, 1 through 7, it came to pass when the king sat in his house. This is King David. If you know very little about the Bible, you know that name, don't you? The Lord had given him rest about from all his enemies. The king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, Nathan the prophet, remember, go do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. See, this is what you would think about David. David has a good idea, an idea from a pure heart. He wants to do something to honor God. He's seeing his own house saying, how can I be better and more gorgeously arrayed than God? You see, at this time, the temple had not yet been built in Jerusalem. That's going to be Solomon's job, as we'll see this text gets to. And David's thinking, how can my house be better than God's house? The Ark of the Covenant, where God meets with the high priest, it's being carried out in tents. T-E-N-T-S. Verse 4. It came to pass that night, the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me a house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even this day, but have walked in a tent and a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I've walked with the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why build ye me not a house of cedar? He goes on to tell Solomon, or tell David, if you continue to read this, that it's going to be his son's job. God's answer, when did I ask for it? You don't have to think for God. He knows how to think for himself. He knows how to speak for himself. Do you know that His Word fully equips us to every good work? 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 said, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. If it's a good work, you'll see it in the Scriptures. If you do something that He hasn't instructed, well, now you're in the trouble zone. In Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 30 and 31, he says, the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abomination in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. And they have built the high places of Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in fire, which I commanded them not, neither came into my heart. The Lord says, when you do what He did not command, you've set up an abomination. Yeah, but the preacher said so. Preachers are limited to what has already been revealed. 1 Corinthians 4:17. Paul says to the Corinthians, this cause I've sent in you Timotheus, my beloved son and faithful Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Can't come up with it on his own. What about the elders? The elders governed and acted in a way that was consistent with God's will. Think about when they sent Paul and Barnabas, Acts 13, 1 through 4. There were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that is called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manon, which had brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered unto the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. It wasn't the elders' own doing. The Spirit's doing. Is it from God's Word or not, is the question we have to ask today. Even when it's elders and preachers saying it. That is God's will. If we are to find ourselves following the traditions and doctrines of men, well, I'll tell you what, I'll leave you with this. Let's look at how Jesus looked at those who followed the traditions and doctrines of men. Mark chapter 7. I'm going to read to you Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 13, and it will serve as our conclusion, because I can put it no better than this. Then came together unto the Pharisees certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. When they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands off, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. They are come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. Many other things they be, which they have received to hold, is the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and of tables. The Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? He answered him, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. And he said to him, full well you reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, let's say a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, what ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. Your worship's in vain, and you're a hypocrite when you follow the traditions and doctrines of men. So you see, men does not have that much authority. Stop giving it to them. Stop listening to them. Turn to the Lord and His will. Make sure those who are leading have Christ in front of them. Paul is, I know I said I would leave off with, let me give you one more. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be you followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. Just think of this. If you look at the head of the line, is it a man or Jesus up there? If it's Jesus, you can use the word of God and find that out. If it's a man, it's going to be according to men, not the Lord. So that's what I've got for you today. I feel like I left a lot of meat on the bone because I've got tons and tons of more information flowing through my mind. However, I think that should be sufficient for you. So when you're out there listening and hearing and seeing, look, one, just stop it. These guys on TikTok and Instagram and out there on podcasts and everything, when they're not talking from the Word of God, they're talking stupid. Proverbs 19:27, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that caused thee to err from the words of knowledge. Stop listening to them. Look to Jesus. Open your Bible. That's what I've got for you today. I hope it's been profitable to you. If I can be of assistance to you, I have a working knowledge of God's Word. I will take you in your Bible to see what the will of the Lord is and help you to know it and help you to obey it. If I can be of assistance, please don't hesitate to contact me. If all goes according to plan, I will be back next Tuesday. Until then, I'll say thank you and goodbye.